Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. A busy day yesterday in NHL free agency. Not a busy day for the Nashville Predators. Not really making any moves of consequence yesterday. They did sign some AHL-level defenseman, but as far as the NHL roster is concerned, not really anything going on yesterday for the Nashville Predators. It's interesting because there were some deals made yesterday, Adam, that I think are good, and there were also some deals made yesterday that I kind of leave my head shaking a little bit. Like, look, I'll be honest with you. The Andre Palat deal, right? So we talked a lot about Andre Palat. He was amazing in the playoffs for Tampa Bay. He's been a huge part of their team, and he's done a whole lot of winning. What's his AAV at? About $6 million now?
Yes.
I mean, the guy scored 18 goals in the regular season last year. He's 18 goals. He's never scored 20 goals. He scored 20 goals in a season one time. He's getting paid $6 million a year right now. Like, he was great in the playoffs, but it's kind of a classic example of what I was talking about. Like, I think the Devils overpaid for Andre Palat. I think the Red Wings overpaid for Andrew Copp. I don't think the Rangers overpaid for Vincent Trocheck. I don't know that I would give Vincent Trocheck a 7-year deal. So those are some of the things you run into on the opening day of free agency every year. I don't think there's any question. Calgary overpaid for Eric Goodbranson, but we've already talked about that enough here on the show. So that's what the first day of NHL free agency is. Like, there are some contracts that look great, and there are some contracts that you kind of look around and say, I don't know about that one. I don't know if that's going to age well. But the fact of the matter is the Predators did not get themselves involved with any of those contracts. And the question now becomes, what do you do next? Where do you go from here if you're David Poile and the Predators? With guys like David Perron gone, Max Pacioretty traded yesterday from Vegas to Carolina. Andre Palat is gone. Obviously, Johnny Gaudreau is gone. The Predators were never in those sweepstakes. Where do you go from here if you're the Predators? With some guys still out there in free agency. But I also am wondering, you know, if the Predators maybe are more interested in a trade route as they move forward too. I'm still not going to totally take that off the table from David Poile and the Predators as they move forward.
Yeah, I wouldn't. And when you look at the UFAs that are still available, you know, there aren't that many notable names. We've mentioned Phil Kessel, Nino Niederreiter is still out there. You know, some, you know, useful depth pieces like Evan Rodriguez, who played for the Penguins and had 43 points last year. Danton Heinen, who I think also played for the Penguins last year, had 33 points. Yep. Old friend Alex Radulov signed in the KHL. So his second stint in the NHL,
it's come to an end,
is over. So there isn't a lot left on the market. Ryan Strome, who was with the Rangers, signed with the Ducks late last night.
Yep.
And his brother Dylan, who was not qualified by the Blackhawks, is still out there. Could be an interesting name. There's not a lot left out there on the free agent market that's really going to move the needle in the right direction. You know, the Predators are going to have to get creative. One of the teams that was in cap hell, Vegas, made that move yesterday with Pacioretty. The Predators already took advantage of the Lightning situation by acquiring Ryan McDonagh. So I'm not sure how many teams at this moment are in desperate need of shedding cap space, and it doesn't have to happen today. You know, if the Predators are serious about finding a player on an expiring deal that can help them, it might have to come via trade, and I would have to look up at who those players could be.
Well, I guess the next guy that I wonder about, now that Johnny Gaudreau is in Columbus and they've they've kind of made some moves here. You know, I've wondered about Patrick Laine and his long-term future with the Blue Jackets. He's a restricted free agent coming up. I do wonder, can you get him extended and signed for a long-term deal, or is he going to play hardball and you're going to go one-year deal? Like, there have been talks about, you know, could Columbus trade Patrick Laine? Now, my guess is, and I don't know this, but just off the top, if you go sign Johnny Gaudreau, it kind of signals to me that you're ready to compete. So I guess they're going to hold on to Patrick Laine, but you do look at Columbus right now. They got $3.1 million in projected cap space with Gaudreau coming in now. So their team is pretty much set at the moment. I do wonder if the Patrick Laine situation resolved itself yesterday and Columbus is going to get that figured out long-term, or are they still maybe going to have to trade him at some point?
Reporting out of Columbus yesterday said that the Blue Jackets are still are still set on re-signing Patrick Laine, but there will have to be corresponding moves to get them under the cap. But you know, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to acquire Johnny Gaudreau and then let your best winger go. So I have to imagine that Laine will be back, but there will have to be some surgery performed on that roster in order to make it cap compliant. But yeah, I mean, the other name out there, and this isn't going to affect the Predators because I don't think they have the space for this, is Matthew Tkachuk, who is a restricted free agent in Calgary. I think his qualifying offer was $9 million, and he's worth it. But after what's been going on in Calgary, you know, does Matthew Tkachuk, you know, see himself, you know, staying there and being a part of that team, which took a significant step back?
I would be surprised.
So, you know, if the Predators could pull off some sort of coup and acquire Matthew Tkachuk, which I would put the percentage of that to be, I don't know, 1.5%. I don't know, maybe even less than that. You know, that would be that's the kind of move that makes a team better instantly, but I don't see that happening.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the Islanders didn't make a big move yesterday either, and they got a ton of money. I mean, they've got $11 million in cap space that they're waiting to spend. The Predators didn't make a big move yesterday. I mean, really, other than that, most teams either made a big move or lost a big piece in the case of Calgary with Johnny Gaudreau going to Columbus yesterday. So it's an interesting spot right now for the league. Like Tampa Bay, they traded you Ryan McDonagh, and then all of a sudden they just go on some signing spree yesterday with Chernak getting a new deal, Mikhail Sergachev getting a new deal, Anthony Cirelli getting a new deal. Right now they're $7 million over the cap, so they're going to have to do something as they move forward here. But it was an interesting day on that front yesterday. You know, Darcy Kuemper ends up in Washington as their next goalie, which was maybe the worst-kept secret in the league heading into free agency. Claude Giroux ends up in Ottawa. So some big pieces being moved. And like you said, you look at the rest of the free agent crop right now from the Predators, there's not a ton that's left out there. Like, you know, Nazem Kadri didn't sign anywhere yesterday. The Predators, I don't believe, are in the Nazem Kadri sweepstakes. I don't think that the money that somebody's going to have to pay to get him, and quite frankly, the term that I'm interested to see that he gets, I think that completely takes the Predators out of that type of a player.
Well, you know who's an interesting name that might be able to, you know, you mentioned the Tampa Bay Lightning. You mentioned that they have a lot of salary cap space to shed. And I know the Predators just made a deal with the Tampa Bay Lightning. But there is a player on the Lightning that could help the Predators if he shakes free. And that's Alex Killorn.
Yeah.
You know, Killorn has one more year on his deal at $4.45 million. He's got a modified no-trade clause. You know, perhaps, I don't know if the Predators are on that list, but perhaps knowing that Ryan McDonagh is here, you know, perhaps that, you know, convinces, you know, Killorn to take a look. And Killorn is, he's 32.
Yep.
But when he's a left winger, and when you look at his numbers, last year he had 25 goals and 59 points in 82 games. And the last full, you know, he had 33 points in 56 games two seasons ago, 26 goals, 49 points in 68 games in 1920. He's an effective player. He's a power forward. you know, that might be someone that I personally would be interested in, because you get him for 1 year, he's reasonably priced, and I think he can help your team. So I wonder if the Lightning have to shed some more space, you know, I would if I were David Poile, I would call back up Julian Breezeball and ask about Alex.
Because Poile. I mean, it doesn't it feel like, just based on the free agents that are still out there, and you know, the Phil Kessel thing that we've talked about. I don't know if the Predators are going to go down that road or not, but doesn't it feel like the options that are out there in free agency right now, you'd be better suited if you're the Predators trying to get this thing done via trade, maybe with, you know, a restricted free agent out there, maybe somebody younger? Like, it kind of feels to me like a trade, if you're going to actually legitimately fix your top six, may be the way to go about it rather than free agency with some of the guys that are now off the board.
Yeah, and I'm another player who's rumored to be available, who's a restricted free agent, is Jesse Puljujarvi.
Yes.
In Edmonton. And he's not a finisher, but he's an effective playmaker and a play driver. He's big. He's young. He's in his early 20s. You know, it hasn't worked out in Edmonton the way that they like. And, you know, all reporting out of Edmonton suggests that the Oilers are prepared to move him. And I don't think he would cost a lot to acquire. It would be a reclamation project for sure. But I think if you put Puljujarvi on a line with Ryan Johansson, I think that could work out well. Then again, he played a lot with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and wasn't able to post a lot of points. And if you can't do it with them, who can you do it with? So, you know, there is risk there, but he would fit what the Predators are trying to do. If you're trying to get younger and trying to, you know, leave some cap space open, I think Puljujarvi, you know, whose next contract shouldn't cost a ton, I think could be an interesting option.
By the way, what did you make of Edmonton giving Evander Kane a 4-year contract with everything that's going on in that guy's life, and then Jack Johnson a 5-year deal?
Wait, Jack, I didn't know that second part.
Or not Jack Johnson. Why am I blanking on who?
Jack Campbell.
Jack Campbell.
Okay, I was about to say Jack Johnson. Sorry, I was like, I didn't see that.
It's a big difference.
Well, you know, I think that, look, they needed goaltending. You know, Mike Smith is ancient and injured.
Yes.
And Mikko Koskinen has left the NHL, so they needed goaltending. And Campbell resurrected his career in Toronto. So I guess it made sense from that front. You know, look, Kane was a good fit for them on the ice. He was really productive for them. You know, would I have given him 4 years? Probably not. They still have to figure out the grievance with San Jose, the league does, after they terminated Kane's contract. Yeah. So that still hangs over all of this. You know, on the ice, he was a really good fit for the Oilers, but trouble always seems to follow Evander Kane. And although he can claim that his life is on track, you know, you sort of believe it when you see it. So, I mean, look, it was, I think the cap hit is reasonable. The term is a little rich for my blood.
We'll continue the conversation. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. John Glennon from NHL.com coming up at 8 o'clock as well. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters coming up at Ridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. 615-737-1025. We are discussing NHL free agency, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ryan in Nashville texting in says, "My only thing is, how do you pass on Max Pacioretty when he would cost you nothing in return? 1 year left on his contract and has been an effective player for Vegas and Montreal in the top six." Well, first off, I don't know that we know that the Predators passed on Max Pacioretty. Just because he ends up in Carolina does not mean the Predators were not interested in Max Pacioretty.
Right. So
now, they did not acquire him, obviously.
Right. So in that regard, I understand what the texter is saying, but the Predators have $9.6-ish million in cap space currently, so they could have squeezed Pacioretty and perhaps Dylan Coughlin under the cap. Now, they would have had to, you know, shed a little salary if they're interested in re-signing Yakov Trenin, which they are. But other than that, it's, you know, that when you see a player of that caliber be moved for nothing, you know, if it does sting if you're a fan of a team that had the room to do it and didn't do it,
yeah.
Which is what the Predators were, one of those teams. So yeah, we don't know if the Predators were in on Max Pacioretty, but you know, we were talking about how good of a fit he would be yesterday morning, and then he was traded for nothing. Future considerations is nothing. There are no future considerations.
Yeah, it means absolutely nothing.
That's just the fancy way of saying we gave him away.
Yeah.
And he is a really good player who just was given away to a really good team.
Well, and I do wonder, when I saw that trade come across, I wondered how many teams called Vegas and were interested, and how many other than Carolina were willing to take on the full price.
Right.
And not have Vegas retain some sort of the salary. So, you know, could that have been the case with the Predators? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they may not have been interested in Max Pacioretty at all. I have no clue. But obviously he ends up in Carolina, which, by the way, I thought I had a great day yesterday in free agency. So that's one that stings when you see the price tag the other way and you think to yourself, man, that would have been a perfect fit. Like, I was thinking about it yesterday afternoon before the trade was made to Carolina. Of he kind of, to me, in this situation, would have been the perfect fit, where it's 1 year. You know that he's probably not coming back after this 1 year, but for this next year, as you're kind of in a transition period with your top six, I thought he would have been perfect with Ryan Johansson. So that one stings if you're the Predators not getting him in there.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned Alex Killorn before the break, because he's not, you know, as he's not a pure scorer like Pacioretty, but he is, you know, a 20 to 25 goal scorer on a regular basis, and you know he's a power forward, so it would give you, you know, that element on your second line, and you know, I think he's a player. I thought he might be a player that the Predators should be interested in a couple of years ago when we thought the Lightning would have cap problems, but they continue to have
they always seem to figure it out.
Yeah, but they always seem to figure it out. You know, I would ask about Alex Killorn, because he has 1 year left on his deal. It's less than $4.5 million, and like you said, it would be for this year, and then you can move on after that.
I got a texter that says, what about a straight up trade, Killorn for Fabro? What do you think of that? Killorn for Fabro. With a guy with 1 year left on his deal before he becomes an unrestricted free agent, are you giving up an asset like Fabro for that?
I don't know. I wouldn't. I'm looking at the I'm trying to find the Lightning's defensive depth chart here. They've got Victor Hedman, Mikhail Sergachev, whose new contract does not start until next season.
Correct.
They signed Ian Cole yesterday. Eric Chernak's new contract does not start until next season. They have Philip Meyer, so why do they need Dante Fabro?
Yeah, put him in there.
I'm not sure I would give up that sort of asset for a 1 year stopgap.
I don't think you'd have to either. Like, let's say that they've got to shed some cap, which they will at some point. And it may be Killorn, it may be somebody else. I don't know who it's going to be. But let's just say it is Killorn. Like, if you know that they have to shed cap, I mean, the Pacioretty trade's a perfect example of it. Vegas had to get rid of some money, and they gave the guy away. They, you know, by all intents and purposes, Tampa basically gave you Ryan McDonagh as well. I mean, you gave up Mismatch and Philip Myers, which giving up Philip Myers was actually a positive for the Predators in terms of some relief there financially. But I don't imagine if they're in a situation where they absolutely have to get rid of somebody that the asking price for Killorn would be that high. Certainly not an established NHL defenseman. I wouldn't think, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, look at what it took to get Ryan McDonagh, who had term.
Right,
It took two, average at best players, one average at best player in a average prospect.
Yeah.
So I don't think it would cost that much to get Alex Killorn. That might be a future considerations type deal. It
could be. I got a texter that says, what happened to David Ferentz? He was so highly touted and now not even a qualifying offer from the Predators. It is interesting. I mean, I remember when he first came up, he got a small look at the NHL a couple of years ago. I thought he was okay. And then I thought last year in Milwaukee that was a good opportunity for him to continue to develop and eventually get up here with the Preds. And it did not go well for him last year in Milwaukee. And it kind of feels like the Preds are moving on from David Ferentz. Like, yeah. You've pointed this out. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're done because they didn't qualify him, but I don't know. Some of the moves they made yesterday, it kind of feels like they are done on the AHL side of things.
Yeah, I'd have to look and see how many times a player who isn't qualified re-signs with that team as an unrestricted free agent. I'm sure there are examples of them. I can't think of them. But yeah, it's disappointing because Ferentz was a really good college player. And like we were talking about earlier in the week, you know, when Ferentz made the decision to return to Boston for a senior season, you know, Predators fans were up in arms about it because they were worried it was going to be a Jimmy Vesey redux, but yeah. it was not. And yeah, in his time in Milwaukee, it clearly did not impress the Predators enough to keep him around, which is disappointing because, as I said, you know, he was a heralded prospect, and it, you know, you look at, I think he's left-handed, and you look at the left side of the depth chart. There's not a lot of room.
Yeah.
From Josi, Matias Ekholm, Ryan McDonagh, Mark Borowiecki, there's not a lot of room there. So it wasn't like David Ferentz was going to crack the NHL lineup anytime soon, most likely. And, you know, they just decided to cut bait.
I got a texter that says, Fabbro and Tolvanen and a first for Matthew Tkachuk. Fabbro, Tolvanen, and a first for Matthew Tkachuk to Calgary.
I
don't think that gets it done.
I always like these trade proposals because I, you know, fans always overvalue their own players. Not to say that Elli Tolvanen and Dante Fabbro couldn't help the Flames, but neither of them are anywhere near as impactful as Matthew Tkachuk.
Right.
So, with all due respect to Dante Fabbro and Elli Tolvanen, I don't think that's getting it done.
No, like I'm trying to think on who the Predators that the Flames would ask for in return. That's even
That's the problem is that the Predators don't really have a lot of tradable assets. You know, their veteran players are locked in. Their prospect pool is all right. You know, the players, you know, would you trade Luke Evangelista or Zachary LaRue or someone like that for Matthew Tkachuk? I mean,
I would,
but with the Predators like that you're going to have to get creative and you're going to have to give up probably multiple top prospects. If Askarov is quote unquote untouchable, which he seems to be right now, you're going to have to give up one of those young forwards probably. With all due respect to Tolvanen and Fabbro, sorry.
No, you're fine. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Let's get your thoughts on the Preds and the inactivity yesterday in free agency. Where do they go from here? What would you like to see from David Poile and the Predators? Hit up our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have John Glennon from NHL.com coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and where they go from here. Not much activity from the Predators yesterday in free agency. Made some minor league moves, but nothing really going on at the NHL level in terms of their current roster. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, Twitter is down and throwing me off a little bit, but I kind of like it. Twitter can be a weird place.
That's putting it lightly.
Yes, it is. Clay from Cunningham on the text line says, who all's even left in the free agent pool that's a top six forward caliber and is affordable to us. That combination right now is very difficult to find.
Yes.
And I would include the affordable part of it is also in terms of the term as well, not just the money, because the money, I think if you're the Predators, you can find guys for the money, but who are some guys that you could sign on a 1 or 2 year, 2 year deal right now that actually improve your top six substantially? Like, let's say the Predators go out today and they sign Phil Kessel, who we've talked a lot about. I don't think it would be overly expensive. It'd probably be a 1 year deal at around $2 million or so, $2.5 million.
Maybe, yeah.
But does that significantly improve your top six?
No.
It's better than having Luke Cunningham in there. I don't think there's any question about that. But does it make your top six significantly more dangerous? I don't know.
Yeah, like you said.
And that's the problem, because a lot of those guys from the first day of free agency are gone.
Yeah, comparatively, it's better than it was last year. But as we've talked about at length the past couple of days, what does Phil Kessel really have left? You know, and would you trust him playing those important minutes, you know, throughout an entire game? Would he be more of a specialist, you know, get him on the power play anytime, get him on the ice whenever there's an offensive zone face-off, and basically just do that?
I mean, the best remaining guys, you know, outside of Kessel, who we just talked about, there is Dylan Strome that's still out there. Nino Niederreiter is still out there, who, of course, was with Carolina, who Predators fans got familiar with in that playoff series. I would assume Niederreiter is going to get a multi-year deal from somebody at some point. The Dylan Strome one is interesting. Like, could that be a route you go if you're the Predators? Now, he's also a center, so what do you do in that case? You've got Granlund down the middle right now, and you've got Johansson down the middle as well. Johansson is a center. He's not playing wing. Granlund can play wing, so if you got Strome, would you put Granlund back on wing? Like, those are kind of the options and decisions that you have to go through. Nazem Kadri's still out there, but I doubt very seriously the Predators are in that discussion, and certainly they're not getting John Klingberg, who's still out there as well.
Yeah, there really isn't a lot left on the free agent market. You know, the time to strike would have been yesterday, but like we talked about.
But that makes me think a trade, right?
I mean, that seems to be – I think a trade would accomplish what the Predators are trying to do, which is getting help at low term. That's why we were talking about Max Pacioretty yesterday. That's why I brought up Alex Killorn today. You know, they have 1 year left on their deals at reasonable prices, and it would accomplish exactly what the Predators are trying to do. You would get a player for this year, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, you move on, and you still have that cap space to sign the players that David Poile wants to sign, like Alex Carrier, like Tanner Jeannot, like Dante Fabro.
Yeah. I got a texture that says, no touching EGOAT or Evangelista. What on top of LaRue could possibly make Calgary raise their eyebrows? So, Afanasyev and Evangelista on the no-trade list for this texture.
Yeah, I think, as I was saying, that fans overvalue their own players. They absolutely overvalue their own prospects. You know, I'll admit, like, I have not watched Luke Evangelista play a full game. I have not seen it. I know that he had a great season in junior hockey.
You didn't spend your Tuesday nights last year watching the London Knights?
No, I did not.
Okay.
You know, LaRue is a player in the mold of Tkachuk. You know, he's a shift disturber. I would have to imagine that the return for Tkachuk, well, you would have to move salary out to accommodate his qualifying offer if you're just going to have him play at his qualifying offer, which I think was $9 million. So you would probably have to include at least one roster player to make the money work. But you know, teams and fans specifically, I'm a sports fan too. We tend to overvalue our team's prospects. Like, that's just how it always has been.
Well, the other guy that's out there that, you know, is interesting via trade that, again, would cost the Predators a lot outside of the Tkachuk part of this, you know, JT Miller at some point is going to be traded from Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they're $2.7 million in the hole on the cap. And they made some moves yesterday. But, you know, JT Miller has apparently been on the block for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a really good player. Again, I don't know exactly what the Predators have to offer the Canucks there, but the thing that makes that more realistic to me is, like, Vancouver, if you're getting rid of JT Miller, you can't take on a ton of salary the other way anyway. So, you know, Miller, he put up 99 points last year, 32 goals, 67 assists. You know, if you're the Predators, could you try to throw yourself in the hat for JT Miller from Vancouver, who I believe, yes, is 29 years old, so, you know, certainly younger than the Phil Kessels and the David Perrons of the world as well.
Yeah, Miller's name has been out there for a long time, and he is a good player. He had a great season last year for the Canucks. There was a story on The Athletic a couple of weeks ago about potential suitors for JT Miller, and I think the Predators were listed as one, but this was before the re-signing of Philip Forsberg.
Yeah.
And the story says, quote, "With Ryan McDonagh now in the fold, is there any way the Canucks could pry Dante Fabbro, a 24-year-old established right-shot defender? Barring that, Tanner Janot or Philip Tomasino could be interesting pieces in the package. Nashville also has an above-average prospect pool in all of its first-round picks moving forward, so the Predators have enough assets to come up with an enticing package if they're interested enough."
See, what do you think about that? Fabbro for Miller?
I'm wondering if I would be more inclined to do that than for Alex Killorn. I mean, Miller is a better player than Killorn.
For sure.
But it is also still, what, 1 year left?
He's got 1 year left, and he's a guy that at his age, I would assume you'd want to resign if you're the Predators.
Right. JT Miller, his cap hit is $5.25 million.
And that's going to go way up.
And it's going to go way up. He is 29, and he can play left wing. He's listed as a left wing and a center.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one, too. And Fabbro is a BC boy, so there's that pull, too. There's that appeal to the Canucks if they wanted to do that.
Have you talked yourself into a Predators JT Miller trade coming up maybe later today?
I think someone like JT Miller, someone like Alex Killorn, you know, that would be what I would do, because it would accomplish what the Predators are trying to do, according to David Poile, in terms of keeping the term low,
yeah,
and finding a replacement or a solution on that second line.
Aaron from White House texting in says Nashville should try to get Nino Niederreiter, even if it's a small deal. Is coming from Aaron in White House.
I like Niederreiter.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't sign somewhere yesterday.
Well, he's definitely not going back to Carolina.
He's definitely not going back to Carolina. Of all the deals being handed out yesterday, it makes me wonder, like, is he asking for too much out there?
Well, you're hoping that perhaps yesterday may have been a shock to his system. Maybe he had an idea of what he thought he was worth, and it wasn't materializing.
Yeah.
So, you know, perhaps he's one of those players that says, okay, let me reevaluate. Maybe I'll take a shorter-term deal or accept a smaller cap hit per season, because I you know, obviously he needs to play, and maybe the market isn't there. You know, I like Niederreiter a lot. You know, he's a good defensive player. He played on a shutdown line last season with Jordan Staal and Jesper Fasht. He's a goal scorer too. He can score 20 goals. He's a pain in the ass. You know, I think Niederreiter checks off a lot of boxes in terms of what John Hines likes out of his players.
Yeah,
and he would make that second line better. Now, again, as I keep saying, does that make them demonstrably better? No, but I would feel better about where they were if they had a player like Nino Niederreiter on the second line.
Greg on the text line said, what happened with the Bruins trading Jake DeBrusque? I feel like Jake DeBrusque has been in trade rumors for 4 years.
He rescinded his trade request.
Yeah, he did.
He did. I guess he didn't like Bruce Cassidy. I guess that really was what it came down to.
He's not going to end up in Vegas anytime soon, is what you're saying?
Yeah, Jim Montgomery, they don't have the space. Jim Montgomery, the new coach of the Boston Bruins. Don Sweeney, their GM, said that within the past week or so that I think it was at the draft that Jake DeBrusque has rescinded his trade request. So, you know, DeBrusque is another player that would have helped, but he doesn't want to leave Boston anymore. How about Craig Smith? Is Craig Smith available?
Bring him back.
You know who would love that? Jared. Jared would love that.
He would
Craig
really
Smith
love
back.
Him. Craig Smith back it down. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Preds a little bit later in the show. We've got John Glennon coming up at 8 o'clock. Back into your Preds thoughts then as well. Up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. I've got some things to say. We'll get to that on the other side. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. You can step up to the tee and take a swing at betting the PGA Tour on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can bet the tour with a no-sweat first bet. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back in free bets. The Open taking place right now. Rory McIlroy off to a good start. And he's the guy I've been telling you about. I'd probably go with him or Scottie Scheffler. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Rob to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
I'm here with my family. I'm here with my family.
I spent last night in the arms of a girl in Louisiana.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can check out our rants every morning at 7:45 here on the program. This one today, I could not believe this when I saw this yesterday. So, obviously, I spent a lot of time on the social media yesterday, which I don't really enjoy doing. But it was NHL Free Agency Day, and I was curious to see what was going on around the league and to see whether or not the Predators would be active yesterday. And yesterday afternoon, I came across this tweet from the Backline, which is a supporters group with Nashville SC. So, first off, I've been around Nashville SC for a while now, back to the early days of Nashville FC, before they were ever in the USL, before MLS, before all that came along, and I've got some friends that work pretty closely there. So, I personally really like seeing Nashville SC do well, and I'm rooting for them to continue to succeed as they move forward here. The statement that the Backline put out yesterday, I thought was so whiny and loserish. And I just made up a word. I just thought it was ridiculous. And I'll just quickly kind of read the statement. Quote, "We love our club, thick and thin. Win, lose, or draw, we back the boys in gold. To be clear, this is not about the players, and it's not about on-field performance. It's also not about parking, tailgates, and signings. The member groups of the Backline Supporters Collective feel that Nashville Soccer Club has consistently given supporters less communication and consideration than we are due. The club consistently benefits from our passion, and we feel that passion is not returned in equal measure. Despite being the most passionate supporters that provide the soundtrack for the stadium, we are often last to know of any changes, opportunities, and events, including those that directly impact our members and the match day experience. Tonight, the member groups of the Backline Supporters Collective have chosen to not to provide that soundtrack. We will not be staging drums and capos. We do not take this action lightly, and we want the boys in gold to know that we support them unequivocally. We have four requests of the club. Quarterly meetings with club leadership, including Ian Ayer. These meetings have been part of our discussion since the founding of the Backline. We have made repeated requests for these meetings since the beginning of the current season, with no date set by the club. Advanced communication to SG leadership of the event and pricing changes that impact supporter groups and priority purchasing options for our members. This includes, but is not limited to, parking, tailgate, ticket pricing, concessions, and non-soccer events. A discount system for supporters at the in-stadium supporters bar. We ask the club to respond to these requests by Saturday, July 16th, 2022. And that plans to implement the above requests are communicated to the Backline board and SG leadership by September 1st. Of 2022. We love you, Nashville. We do. So this was the statement that was put out there yesterday by the Backline supporters group. I thought that was so whiny. Now, look, apparently some tailgating and parking spots, I think it's lot one, if I'm not mistaken, has been shifted around and has been taken away at the new stadium at Geodis Park on the fairgrounds. How much responsibility the club bears for that, I don't know. How much of that is the fairgrounds itself? Could there be situations where Nashville SC could have communicated better? I'm sure they have. Quite frankly, dealing with some people at Nashville SC, yes, they can communicate better than they have. But I thought this was just such a whiny, entitled, ridiculous statement put out there by the backline supporters group yesterday. They got absolutely crushed for it on social media, which they should have gotten absolutely crushed for it on social media. As multiple people who are in this group have pointed out, it was a small minority of people that felt this way and decided to just go ahead and put out a statement anyway, even though there were many members of the group that did not feel this way and did not feel that this was the appropriate course of action. And I am glad that they are just getting eviscerated for this online, because it was so whiny, it was so entitled, and it was just loser talk. I could not believe I was reading this yesterday. It was ridiculous. I've never seen anything quite like that. Just absurd.
Has there been a resolution?
I think there actually has been. I think that Nashville SC has decided to at least meet with them. So I guess it worked. But I just thought that that was ridiculous yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like this. It feels like this only happens in soccer. Like,
it really does.
This, you know, and I understand that at least here in the United States, in MLS specifically, you know, it is becoming more of a popular sport, but it is still far behind the other professional leagues in the United States in terms of popularity. So the fans that devote themselves to these teams are incredibly passionate. So I feel like you only hear about these sorts of things, and maybe I'm being willfully blind here, but I feel like you only hear about these things when it comes to soccer. And, you know, I was listening to the statement as you were reading it, and I did find it interesting that they were airing their grievances so publicly. I'll be curious to see, as you said, that if Nashville SC is willing to discuss this, I'd be curious to see what comes out of it, if any of their demands are met, because it is important to have a discount at the bar.
Well, yeah, like that was my thing. Like the best part of this was like the ending line of the first part of the statement was, we want the boys in gold to know that we support them unequivocally. Now, here's our list of demands that we have for the club, including some concession discounts. Like, get out of here. I mean, it's such an entitled way of thinking. Look, I get it. There are passionate fans of every group. You know, the Predators have passionate fans. I remember the days of Cell Block 303, and you know, those people are wild up there. The Titans have passionate fans, and I get it. You feel like you're part of the club, and there's nothing wrong with that. But asking for, like, special privileges and stuff like that, it was an absurd statement from them yesterday. Viking Matt on the text line says, the back line is a group of babies. I follow an NSC fan page, and it's nuts. And I'm a season ticket holder for NSC, and we won without him. This is coming from Viking Matt on the text line.
A group of babies. Can that be unfurled on the banner?
Well, maybe so.
Yeah. A group of babies. Yeah.
Joshua Levin says, totally agree, Robbie. The way I look at it, if you're not a paid employee of the said club or team, you're overstepping your bounds. Rob on the text line says, if it was the minority, it sounds like they didn't listen to anyone in the back line or take a vote. And that's the other thing. You know, from all the reaction, and I was kind of digging through this yesterday on social media, and you look through some of the Twitter comments, which is always a dangerous place to go on Twitter. But there are a lot of comments in there from people who are members of the back line, and were like, hey, yeah, man, I'm in this, and this does not represent the way I think. We were not consulted on this statement. They just went with it.
Yeah. You know, how many members are in the back line?
I have no clue.
And you say only a small number of the people within that group responsible.
That is what, digging through the comments, I have gathered, that it was a small number of people responsible for the statement.
Well, that seems unfair. If a small group is speaking for the entire,
I don't know
group,
if they've got some. I'm sure they do. They have some sort of leadership group. So,
yeah. Well, we'll see what happens here. I'm curious to hear about the fallout of this meeting, and we'll see if anything comes of it.
Kyle on the text line says, I will say I only agree with one thing from that statement, and that's that there should be a discount at concessions. It's ridiculous not to have any discount other than at the team store. This is coming from Kyle on the text line.
Now, I have not attended a game yet at Geodis Park, and I remember a lot of hullabaloo about the concession prices when they were giving tours of the stadium. Did those prices drop at all? Or
I don't think so.
Okay. Have you been to, I'm sure you've been to a game, right?
I've not been out there yet.
I've been out there.
Michelle has.
Did you buy concessions?
Yeah, I didn't think it was anything, you know, outrageous. I pay probably the same much for a drink at
everywhere.
Bridgestone. Except for Atlanta.
Except for Atlanta.
But I mean, a daddy's dog, you're going to pay $10 anywhere for that.
Yeah.
Even outside of Tin Roof on Denumbrium. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I didn't think it was out there or anything. But does this backline group, do they pay like a fee to be like a member of this club?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's
okay.
There's memberships to get in here, but like it's not to the club, I don't think.
No, it's
and
like
even if it is, like you're not an employee of the team.
Right. I mean, it's like
it was just funny to me the membership. We support you unequivocally. Now here are our list of demands.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it when I read this yesterday. Gentry on the text line says, "Can't wait for the follow-up tweet when they get the old bait and switch and the 20-year-old PR intern is the one meeting with them and not Ian Air." Could be.
Hmm. Yeah, I have to admit that I wasn't paying attention to this in live time, but I did see it cause a stir on Twitter. By the way, Twitter is back up now.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, rejoice.
Or not. Sometimes that's the only way to get off Twitter is for it to be down.
That's true.
But yeah, I would like to see a follow up from this. I want to know what the outcome of this supposed meeting is, and we can ask John Glennon about it.
Look,
next because he's a big soccer.
We have. I have very rarely seen people as united on social media as I saw with this yesterday. I mean, they were just getting crushed for this statement that they put out there. And deservedly so. When we come coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from NHL.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators, the inactivity from the Predators on day one of free agency. What does it mean? And what could happen with the Predators as they move forward here? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.